Happy Wednesday, everyone. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports on Global Patriot Radio, part of Blog Talk Network's series of shows, 7 shows, 7 days, 8 different hosts. And that was a little mix there. I'm quite adept these days at mixing up my music. Anyway, it's Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021. Lots going on. Lots going on other shows here on Global Patriot Radio. Every Monday, Vito Esposito show featuring Big Al, Mamma Mia No Sharia. They go at 6 o'clock. You can guess what it's about. It's great stuff. I mean, even if I'm busy, I try to log in and listen in, if not take part. Tuesday's Eric with Radio Free Kafaristan. Again, you can pretty much guess what Eric talks about. He basically contrasts a lot of things, and he breaks down the mythology that the media tries to make of Islam in this country. Wednesdays, of course, me, Hank Jones. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul had some great guests on last week. I haven't listened to it yet because long story short, my real job, so to speak, has kept me kind of busy. But Paul had Kevin Sorbo on. Kevin Sorbo played Hercules on that syndicated show back in the 90s and early 2000s. He talked about his being canceled by Facebook, even though he had like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers on the platform. And they just, you know, they did what Facebook does. Fridays, conservative casual Friday. Andrew Herod, it's also called Islam in Focus. Again, high-powered, high-profile guests on that show. That's in 1 o'clock Eastern. So if you're working, you know, figure something out. Figure out a way to fake it. Say you're on a Zoom call or something. Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern time, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And boy, do they reveal. I mean, they hit you between the eyes. Those are the shows. As well, Sunday, Eric's back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. And again, remember, you need to download an app to take part. But those shows really kind of get at the craw of some of the Islam community, the more radical sectors, of course, who try to, like Hamas, CARE, and those other ones that try to pretend that it's a religion of peace. Those folks will tell you the facts, is what they will do. Hey, if you want to listen, you just go online, blogtalkradio.com, and then you look for live and you look for Global Patriot Radio. It's one of our shows every day. So you'll see us on there usually between the hours somewhere of 5:30 to 8 o'clock at night, except on the dates noted, Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. When they're Fridays and Sundays are afternoon and late afternoon, and then Saturday nights are late ones. But look for Global Patriot Radio in the chat, live chats, and jump in. You can also call in, and we've got some callers on right now. You can dial 319-527-6706 and just listen. That's all you got to do. Just listen. If you want to talk, hit the 1 on your phone. You know how they say press 1? Hit the 1. I'll talk about anything, really. Got people. We have Indy Hawk KB in the chat room. We've got Hawkeye Mike and Big Sister. Hawkeye Mike listening, and Big Sister as well. And I believe that's Sue from New Mexico also listening in. Hopes you're doing okay, Sue. I know you went through some rough stuff with the vaccine. Hope you're better. Hope it's past you at this point. You can also tweet me at HPolySports. Now, I got to admit, most of the stuff I do is just tweet about the show. Most of the other stuff I do is just retweeting. I'm not Mr. Original when it comes to Twitter, but there's so much stuff out there, so much gold, frankly, to mine and retweet that makes it fun. At HPolySports, you can email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook. Just type in Hank Jones Polysports. You'll see me. Again, that one I'm more reactive, or maybe bringing up show stuff. I don't have all kinds of, I'm not some whiz kid creative genius type. I wish I was, but I'm not. So, and of course, joining me in Hank Haven, adjacent to Electric Hankland Studios, is Mrs. Hank, who is still engaged, I believe, in some actual vocational pursuits. And then the little shepherd is here. Our little Aussie shepherd is here, and it was her playing with the ball. Sweetie, no, she knows better, but she said, well, hey, what the heck. Hey, we got some sad deaths in the last week. The first one's kind of tough. Opera singer Antoine Hodge. He was relatively new as a lead performer at the Met. That's New York City's venerated opera house. He passed away from COVID complications, 38 years old. He was born in Gainesville, Georgia. He had actually gone to Advent Health Hospital in Orlando for advanced treatment, but eventually succumbed roughly 2 months after first contracting it. He was a bass baritone. He first joined the Met for the 2019-20 season. Yeah, he's just the most recent loss there. They lost director Elijah Moshinsky in January, assistant director Joel Revzen last May, and violist Vincent Leonti last April, all due to COVID. Antoine Hodge previously sang leading roles at opera houses in Atlanta, Utah, Colorado Springs, St. Louis. When he was in New York, he also sang at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. Now, I know it sounds like this rich Presbyterian church, and it is. There's money there, but it's a very diverse congregation, and it's noted for that. There are people from all over that worship there and unite there, and it has also pretty good, pretty stellar music and arts programs there. Big church. I was a former Presbyterian. It got a little liberal for me, but sad loss. Former Notre Dame star, defensive lineman Lewis Nix. He was found dead last Saturday. He'd been reported missing earlier in the week by his family, and his former Notre Dame head coach, Brian Kelly, had sent a message to fans asking them to reach out and connect with him. Now, he was there at Notre Dame. He was a star in the 2011, 2012, and 2013 seasons. Of course, 2012, they reached the BCS title game after they had that undefeated regular season, kind of overshadowed by Manti Te'o. But anyway, he played three seasons in the NFL. He was only 29. No cause listed yet. And this one's not sad for pretty much anyone. Gymnastics coach John Gettert, he was one of the coaches involved in that sleazeball Larry Nassar. He committed suicide last week after being charged with 24 felonies last Thursday. The charges included human trafficking, forced labor, and first and second degree sexual assault. Then, of course, hours after the charges were announced, he killed himself with a shotgun near Grand Ledge, Michigan, at a rest stop off I-96. Well, Peter Gotti, he's the older brother of deceased Teflon Don John Gotti. He passed away last Thursday at 81 of natural causes. Now, he was imprisoned at Federal Correctional Complex in Butner, North Carolina. He was, according to some, he was the leadership of the family shortly before his brother John had died. Speculation was that he, along with Gotti Jr., John Gotti Jr., ran the family on John Sr.'s orders. Anyway, he was 81, natural causes, which in the mob, you know, that's rare. Jumpin' Johnny DeFazio. He was a former WWWF, four-time junior heavyweight champ. WWWF is what morphed into WWF and now WWE. Now, he had cancer, passed away last week. He was 80. He was popular during the studio era shows in Pittsburgh. He was also an Allegheny County City Councilman, and he was a director in the United Steelworkers of America. So, an actor all the way. Former NFL star and broadcaster analyst Irv Cross passed away at 81. He was the first full-time black studio analyst working at CBS. He worked with Brent Musburger, who was a classmate of his at Northwestern. He was part of Eric Parsegian's first recruiting class at Northwestern. While he was there, he played wide receiver, defensive back, and defensive end. He was honorable mention All Big Ten in 1960 and then played nine seasons in the NFL. He made the Pro Bowl as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles in 1964 and 1965. And along with Brent Musburger and Phyllis George, they were the inaugural team on CBS's NFL Today, which was the first totally live network pregame show. It wasn't a bunch of recordings. It was totally live. He was there until 1994. He served as athletic director later on at Idaho State and then McAllister College in St. Paul. He was a CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Minnesota and then returned to football commentary for a bit with Twin Cities Fox affiliate. It was announced back in 2018 that he had dementia. He passed away last Sunday at a hospice in Minnesota of heart disease, 81 years old. He was truly a pioneer. While you know, he knew infinitely more than his broadcast partners, and yet he never held that over her head, their heads, Phyllis George's or Brent Musburger's. He was especially good with audiences, explaining the nuances of the game. Think, for those of you that like what Urban Meyer has done as a studio analyst, Irv Cross was doing that back in the 70s. That kind of breaking it down and giving you this, just the basics of what was going on in the game, taking the complication out of it. This next one is really sad. I'd been following and receiving updates from Team Jack Foundation. That's the organization and the team that were organized to help raise funds for awareness, raise funds and raise awareness for pediatric cancer. It was named after Jack Hoffman. Jack was, by default, because of his parents, was a huge Nebraska fan. When he was five, he was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. Now he's on therapy now to stem the growth. But remember, he scored that 69-yard touchdown in the Nebraska spring game. Became good friends with Rex Burkhead. Anyway, he's made great strides. He suited up for his high school team. But last summer, his father, Andy, who was the leader of the foundation, an attorney and author, he was stricken with brain cancer. I saw updates periodically, and then I saw last week things that he'd had several setbacks. He'd had COVID-19. The cancer had metastasized to the spine. There was increased tumor concentration in the brain. And very sad and heartbreaking. Andy passed away Monday. He was only 42. He went through that battle with his son. He devoted much of his life afterward to fundraising and awareness, blogging, media appearances, whatever networking to help the cause, basically. In the last decade, he helped raise over $8 million for the foundation. He used his son's run. That was in the Nebraska spring game in 2011. He used that to fuel the campaign. And it's a great YouTube story. It's a PN story. It was on Big Ten Network. July 2020, he'd had several different types of episodes, and so he was diagnosed with glioblastoma multiforme, a form of brain cancer with a life expectancy of about a year. He continued his New Year's resolution, finished his book. He had run marathons. He'd gone on hunting trips with his son, but the setbacks kept adding up. He sought second and third opinions. He recovered from two strokes. And then, of course, in addition to the COVID, he was having difficulty walking. That was probably due to the metastasis to the spine, I would guess. Although I'm not a doctor, I watch enough shows on TV, so I've got my semi-honorary. Hey, but like I said, I got the same exact medical degree as Bill Gates. So, yeah, the news wasn't great, but the attitude of the family really was. It was unshakable. But time ran out for Andy. It's, like I said, very sad. This is one of those times when prayer may not seem like enough of a comfort or a solution. I can tell you, though, from experience and from seeing others, it's actually times like this when prayer is pretty much the only answer. So pray for his family. Pray for his wife, Bree, and their three kids, Jack and Ava and Reese. Pray that their family and friends and neighbors and the Nebraska Cornhusker community can be a comfort and assistance. Pray that at some point in some way this can make some sort of sense to them, because right now I can't see how it would. Maybe it'll bring more urgency to finding more and better alternatives to cancer treatment. Pray that Jack continues on his path to better health, that the trial continues to keep his tumor from growing. Thank God for the life, the inspiring life of Andy Hoffman. May he inspire us all to carry on. He had two missions after he was diagnosed: raise as much money as possible and spend as much, or this is when he found out about Jack, raise as much money as possible and spend as much time with his wife and children. So, let's do our part. Let's raise awareness. If you're good at helping raise funds, help. If you have lots of funds, give. Pediatric cancer is something no family should have to go through. And he wanted to spend time with our families. And pray that the Hoffman family can really know that God loves them, because this is a tragedy. It's just sad, and it seems senseless. I know most death is, but boy. go to teamjackfoundation.org. They've got all kinds of info there. You can purchase his book. It's called Yards After Contact. That also helps proceeds go to the foundation. So here's some politics news. This one's kind of funny, actually. A couple of weeks ago, a judge had ruled against Citibank in a case. Citibank, by accident, wired almost $900 million to the wrong place. $500 million, I think, to one single entity. I could be wrong on that. Anyway, they were acting as an agent for Revlon. What they were intending to do was send $8 million in interest payments to Revlon's lenders. In all, they sent almost $900 million, $175 million going to a hedge fund. Several entities did return the funds. Several did not. Citibank sued for the return of about $500 million. Now, in most states, spending that money is punishable. In New York, where this happened, there is a discharge for value defense. It's the beneficiary is entitled and did not know the amount wired was accidental. They do not have to return it. In this case, what they did, they sent loan amounts due to the lenders, who by law, they can show that amount. They can bookkeep it as prepaid loan payments. However, since an appeal is a distinct possibility, that money is going to stay put for now. Here's some conclusions I can draw from it right now before any appeals are completed. First, there are probably a couple of openings in the Citibank accounts payable department. If you're good at doing that, you might try and get on with Citibank. They needed the help, I would guess. Second, due to some of the internal emails of the recipient companies, submitted in court documents, email security and monitoring better get ramped up in the finance world. Third, the judge who issued this ruling, he better be debt-free, debt-freaking free, because if he's not, Citibank's going to be buying up all his debt and calling it due on the slightest pretext. Bank on it, folks. Just don't bank on it at Citibank. By the way, here's some of the internal emails, most of which were done after Citibank had notified the recipients. Didn't say the company, but DFry5. I really feel bad for the person that fat-fingered a $900, $1 million erroneous payment. Not a great career move. Jay Rabinowitz, 12. Certainly looks like they'll be looking for new people in their ops group. DFry5 said, how was work today, honey? It was okay, except I accidentally sent $900 million out to people who weren't supposed to have it. Then DFry5 continued, the downside of work at home. Maybe the dog hit the keyboard. By the way, if I'm the employer of those two, I might send IT to run a random check on those guys, or at least on their computers, and maybe check their bank accounts, in case your own payroll department has been a little generous accidentally. These guys don't seem the type that would alert the company if that happened, so just saying. A story in Newsweek a couple weeks ago says that a betting website, it's called Covers, that they put the odds on both Dwayne The Rock Johnson and AOC at 25-1 for the 2024 presidential election. The Rock says he would run, quote, if the people want it. Look, I'll put it at even money that if both run and, quote, the people want it, this country is at that particular time looking about 25 times worse than any sane person would have guessed when AP Biden and AVP Harris took part in what was called an inauguration ceremony on January 20th. Then again, you know what? If the people want it, who's to say we'll even be referring to them as him and her by then? So, Dr. Seuss has been canceled. Yeah, by his own foundation, believe it or not. In a statement to the AP, Dr. Seuss Enterprises says there are six books that will cease sales because, quote, these books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. How the hell is rhyming hurtful and wrong? The books under the cancel scope are And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, If I Ran the Zoo, McGilligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Eggs Super, and The Cat's Quizzer. Yeah, evidently the way some people and characters are drawn is offensive. Yeah, thank God Bill Cosby's already in jail, because it won't be long before Fat Albert caricatures are going to be under attack. So, in addition to Dr. Seuss Enterprises canceling them, AP Biden has also removed Dr. Seuss from the Read Across America initiative, which ironically was started to celebrate Dr. Seuss's birthday. Seriously, people, Dr. Seuss. Or as Jack Nicholson would say, Dr. fucking Seuss. Dr. Seuss! You know, thinking about it, The Rock and AOC may just win by default in 2024. Because seriously, they're probably going to be the only two people left in this country that haven't been canceled. Speaking of AVP Harris, apparently she was upset because she was not informed prior to the bombing that took place in Syria last week. The bigger question, I would point out, was AP Biden informed? I mean, look, we're less than 40 days into this fiasco, and we've bombed places, canceled pipelines, seen gas prices and food prices rise noticeably, canceled institutions like Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head, and some of the Muppets. And AVP Harris expects to be informed by the guy she blasted during the presidential debates. And frankly, what did either of these people think Obama was going to let them in on things or let them run things? No. Again, this week's cancel count, Dr. Seuss, at least one Muppet, and Mr. Potato Head. They all sleep with the fishes, as they say. Or actually, they're sleeping on a My Pillow, probably, in Cancelville. By now, I'm sure you've all seen and heard the calls for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign. He said again today he's not. Because of COVID? Nope. Because of killing people in nursing homes and lying about it? Nope. It's because of three, at this point, allegations of sexual harassment and or abuse. This is sickening. Remember the Clinton lied, nobody died? Remember that one back in 1998-99? So Cuomo ignores COVID. He ignores seniors and assisted living residents that are killed. Yet the media protects him. How glorious that a couple of sexual harassment allegations are his undoing in the media, man. That's, you know, they'll protect killers now, but by God, they're serious when it comes to sexual harassment. Seriously, is this twisted, sick, and demented, or what? Look, I'm all for bouncing this guy off a few brick walls and all. I really am. I can't think of too many people I find more distasteful than Andrew Cuomo. But really, seriously, they're getting sanctimonious now? Where was this outrage last year? Where, I'm asking, where was this outrage? Where was it? It was nowhere. As they say in Spine, but nowhere. Exactly, nowhere. AP Biden signed an executive order last week. I know, probably one of 20. This one in particular reverses the Mexico City policy, which essentially forbids U.S. foreign aid funding to be used for abortion. It was first instituted by President Reagan. It's been reversed by every Dem president and reinstated by every GOP president. AP Biden promised to undo it again during the campaign, with support coming from everyone's favorite legit 501c3 Planned Parenthood. I'm going to use a line from Willy Wonka here. If Planned Parenthood is a 501c3, then I'm a vermicious knid. Anyway, according to polls from Marist and from Knights of Columbus, 75% of Americans are against U.S. aid money funding abortions. Even two-thirds of self-described pro-choice voters. Or I guess 85% of independent voters. Among the detractors, ironically, is Nebraska GOP Senator Ben Sasse, one of the seven GOP senators to vote to convict President Trump in the second impeachment. Here's Sasse's statement. These pro-abortion executive orders from President Biden shock the conscience. Our government shouldn't be funding abortions at home, let alone overseas. Unity is important at times like these, but waging a culture war is only going to deepen divides and hurt innocent victims. Human dignity matters. President Biden should rethink his move. Speaking of rethinking, Senator Sasse and Plastic Pelosi and about 260 or 270 other representatives and senators, you might want to rethink your conduct and your votes from last month's impeachment hoax. Do you remember the articles of impeachment stated that President Trump was directly responsible or the incursion that occurred at the Capitol on January 6th, it's pretty much looking like, yep, President Trump advised, at a minimum, the need for more police presence at the Stop the Steal rally. The question lies is whether or not the National Guard could be called out before any issue. Now, the other question is the alleged pre-event briefing that said no violence was expected. Why? Because no violence had occurred at previous MAGA-type rallies. Christopher Wray, he's the director of the FB Lie, my new name for it, not the FBI, the FB Lie. He's trying to say now that it was Trump supporters dressed as Antifa that led the attack. Now, why is that weird? Wray and the other FB Lie spokespersons said there was no Antifa involvement. So which is it? And the one alleged Trump supporter disguised as Antifa has been talking from all sides of his mouth on the subject, but it does include a couple of allegations. He said while he was in Antifa garb, he was left alone. When he got rid of that and went back to his MAGA clothing, he was targeted and subdued. Oh, here's another one. One of those people already arrested, one John Earl Sullivan, a self-described Antifa activist. So yeah, Christopher Wray and the rest of the FBI are losing credibility. I really hope they do a full investigation on this. They won't, of course. Or it'll be similar to the 9/11 commission. Remember that one? Jamie Gorelick was put on the commission. But Jamie Gorelick should have been a witness, not necessarily a cooperating witness. Kind of like, I think this is going to be similar to what happens when you have an impeachment trial led by one of the jurors, Pat Leahy. Yeah. In any event, look, it's clear a second impeachment shouldn't have been conducted, and clearer still that Big Lefts and their psychotic obsession with President Trump continues unabated. Back to Governor Cuomo, The View, head hog Joy Behog is saying that Democrats should ignore the accusations against Cuomo, just like GOPers always do. Huh? Apparently she missed the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court confirmation process. Oh, Behog, you corn-snuffling pig. Just shut up already. God. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has set a date to allow all businesses to reopen at 100%, and he's lifting the state's mask mandate. This goes into effect next Wednesday. He was addressing the Lubbock Chamber of Commerce. He said, with vaccines, antibody therapeutic drugs, reduced hospitalizations, and increased recoveries, mask mandates are no longer needed. What is needed, he said, is to restore livelihood and normalcy for Texas and for Texans. He reiterated, though, that safety is still a priority. Individuals and families have proven, though, that they are up to the task and that now businesses and families need the freedom to determine their own destiny. Thank you, 1 year later. We've got two election-related stories coming up, one good, one not. In Georgia, the state house has passed an election reform bill that in all likelihood will curtail many of the abuses that were seen during the 2020 election cycle. Look, while the Senate bill will still allow for no excuse absentee voting, the House bill would not. It would limit weekend voting. It would shorten the time for mail-in voting. It would require voter ID to register for absentee or mail-in voting. Drop boxes would be limited, and they would not be available during non-voting hours. They would not be available unsupervised. In other words, folks, no ballot box stuffing, no ballot harvesting. In addition, elections supervisors, registrars, or boards would not be allowed to receive funding, grants, or gifts from any source other than county, state, or federal voting authorities. On the other hand, now, in the House, the U.S. House, the Dems are trying to ram through H.R. 1. This basically says, hey, give us the ballots. We'll cast all the votes. It doesn't say that, but that's essentially. It would allow voter registration automatically for 16 and 17-year-olds. Universal national mail-in voting would allow for ballot collection and harvesting, allow a majority party to determine what candidates for federal office are allowed or not allowed to say, and maybe the worst, would change the FEC from a nonpartisan regulatory authority to a partisan majority rules entity. Oh, wait, that's not the worst. Here's the worst. The bill would transfer from the states the authority to determine congressional districts, which would be done by a commission made up of academics, public officials, and private citizens. Or maybe this is the worst. It would allow candidates for federal office to draw salaries from funds contributed by individuals and special interests with concerns about proposals before Congress. Folks, this has never been legal, as in history. It's never been legal for them to do that. Yeah, this needs to be jumped on. Call your congressional representative, especially if that representative is a Democrat. If possible, get their thoughts in a letter or an email and publicize the hell out of it, especially if they agree with the funding and the federalization of districts. Opposition and criticism continues for AP Biden's proposed $1.9 trillion bill for COVID relief. Actually, what it should be called, more accurately, it should be $1.5 trillion for progressive pet projects, and $400 billion for COVID or quasi-COVID relief. Listen, we got $112 million for a Silicon Valley subway. We got bailouts for states that have all but stolen from their own citizenry. No money to help schools reopen. Meanwhile, Democrat kids and kids of union bosses that don't want schools reopened are sending their own kids to private schools. No mental health money for kids affected by continued school closure. Scant money for businesses that have been forced to stay closed. To top it off, two significant spending items don't even take place this year. One takes place in 2022, the other in 2024. Anyone have any idea why they would do that? Yeah, like maybe Big Left via big tech and big media will highlight those items between Labor Day and Election Day in those years, perhaps. Hell, who knows? Election Day may end up, Big Left has any more to say about it, may end up occurring between whatever time frame they need to continue corrupting this frigging system. Whatever the case, look, we know that little of what is being proposed is COVID-related. We know that states that have managed themselves well are being burdened with bailing out states that haven't managed themselves with any fiscal discipline. We know if AP Biden has any gray matter left, it's pretty much focused on petty vengefulness toward those who have ever opposed him. I mean, if you're a red state with a GOP governor, keep your head down. Frankly, it isn't just Joe Biden that's after you. It's all of Big Left. From the Will Anyone Ask file comes this piece from the American Thinker. Biden administration approves pipeline for Russian energy after killing Keystone. Written by Jack Helner. President Biden blocked the Keystone pipeline from Canada to the U.S., ostensibly due to environmental concerns and claims about global warming, even though the long-planned project had cleared all environmental hurdles. Yet, the Biden State Department just effectively approved an energy pipeline from Russia to Germany. According to the Wall Street Journal, State Department, in a report to Congress, didn't name new companies as targets for sanctions related to an $11 billion pipeline designed to transmit Russian natural gas to Germany, allowing work on the pipeline to continue unabated. Some Republican lawmakers criticized the State Department over the Nord Stream 2 report, which was required by Congress, and both the Republicans and a key Democrat requested an explanation of the administration's position. Counted as a win for pipelines, at least for other pipelines, not our pipelines, but counted as a win for other pipelines. The rest of the press, of course, is focusing on Biden making his decisions, in quotes. But with this news, the direction of this administration is clear. It is clear that jobs in Europe and Russia are more important to Biden than jobs in the United States. Energy from fossil fuels is also okay in Europe, just not here. Brilliant piece of writing. Unfortunately, very sad, but a brilliant piece of writing. No two ways about it. Welcome a couple others to the phone lines. Brother Tommy, I think, is in, and Buddy Jeff is also on the line. Here's one from the Epic Times. It appears the Supreme Court is actually now willing to hear arguments that Arizona electoral integrity laws were intact and being observed. Now, why is this relevant, you might ask? It's basically saying that the case in Maricopa County, affirming the rights of state lawmakers to have access to the county's 2.1 million cast ballots in order to carry out an integrity audit, along with questions asked by SCOTUS in this case, could signal that the court's willing to acknowledge, one, no system is perfect, and two, using race or socioeconomic status as de facto disadvantage is spurious at the least and intellectually lazy at the extreme. Simply assuming, such as Justice Sonia Sotomayor did, that being a minority is an inherent voting disadvantage assumes that voting laws themselves are inherently racist or biased. And that's effectively opening to argument and interpretation any and all measures to ensure election integrity. Further, doing so can have the effect of, before the court, before an election takes place. Sorry, a little mishap with the computer here. But basically can have the effect in terms of the court that before an election takes place, that bias is inherent. and that the court, you would go into any court case with that precept that bias is inherent. As the article says, justices were for the most part favorable to hearing the case further. But with, again, with the Supreme Court, you don't, there's no telling how deeply or widely it might be compromised given some of their recent, well, I say recent, the last 10 years. So there is that. That's what's going on in my political world. Gonna take a quick break so that we might get us some water and then come back and we'll talk about some sports news. Yes, yes, yes. Why don't we do a little? I'm trying to find a good one that I think you guys will like. Let's do this one. This is a good one. Wayman Tisdale. Let's do it again. He's taking the classic Earth, Wind, and Fire tune and doing it on a bass guitar. Here goes, folks. I'll be back in a couple. Wayman Tisdale, former Oklahoma Sooner and then Sacramento King, I believe. Great basketball player, great bass player. He took that Earth, Wind, and Fire classic and turned it into a good solo bass vehicle. I want to thank Sue from New Mexico, who just sent it out on Twitter. Judge orders the Biden State Department to turn over an email from Jen Psaki, the press secretary for AP Biden. Years ago, they said that they were not, the Obama State Department said it was not engaged in any talks or secret deals with Iran. It became obvious that they were. Psaki was asked later, while she was in a State Department spokesman, about it. She said, well, I think there are times when secrecy is imperative. They found an email from her with information relevant to the lie and when the secret negotiations actually started. It's very redacted. On their website, on the State Department website and on the YouTube channel, it's edited out 8 minutes. A federal judge has ordered the Biden State Department to turn it over to the court by March 12th. The judge will review it in camera, meaning in private, to determine if there is, in fact, a security issue or the Biden State Department is just blowing hot gas. So, yeah. We're not, as I said, we're barely 40 days into it, I guess. And we're having this kind of stuff happen routinely. I mean, lies are being told by them. Stuff is they're not admitting anything. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to talk about it later in some funny tweets that have come across the pike. So let's get to some sports news. The NIT. Yeah. For a while there, that was a domain of Steve Alford in Iowa. We played there too many times. That's down to 16 teams. All games are going to be played in Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The entire field is going to be at large. Now, what this means, typically a team that wins a regular season conference title but doesn't win their conference tournament for the smaller leagues, they get an automatic bid. Now, that's not necessarily the case this year, but seeing as how the NCAA owns the NIT tournament, something tells me regular season conference winners will get higher priority in the actual NCAA tourney, a.k.a. March Madness. Hey, along that line, Vito's listening in, folks. He's not in the chat room, but he might be listening now, but he was listening in but not logged in. Vito and Al have some way to get press credentials occasionally. So we need to email them. Get press credentials for me to go to either the Big Ten or the NCAA tournament in Indianapolis. Email this, hjpsports1980@gmail.com with the subject line, Get Hank Legit for Indy. Those will be get Hank and wife legit for Indy. That's what I meant to say. Those will be forwarded to Al and Vito for consideration. Now, bear in mind, Global Patriot Radio has no travel budget or, as far as I'm aware, any budget. But hopefully Al and Vito have the stroke to get actual press credentials to get me into a game or two. Shoot some questions at coaches and players. Fully masked, of course. Best of all, get me some somewhere where I can see actual live sports again. Remember, every bit of sports news and insight I give you could just be stuff I made up. Remember, like since March 16th last year, we've all been on sports lockdown for the most part. Only 20 to 25% of sports fans are there to actually confirm any scores or results. So yeah, I could just be making stuff up. Oh, and if anyone sends that email and requests that I get credentials for NIT games, you're going to be removed from the email whitelist. No, that has nothing to do with Coca-Cola and their new scheme being less white. But yeah, don't ask for credentials for the NIT, NCAA or bus. Well, Big Ten tournament would be good too. Last weekend, golfers all over the world playing various events on various tours, basically, paid tribute to Tiger Woods, the laid-up Tiger Woods. Most of them wore black pants with red shirts. That's Tiger's typical Sunday outfit. On the PGA Tour, Colin Morikawa couldn't get the right attire in time, but he paid tribute by holding on to a 54-hole lead to win the World Golf Championship Workday Championship event at Concession Golf Club. Fittingly, Morikawa now, along with Tiger, they are the only two players to have a major championship and a world golf title before the age of 25. Tiger took to Twitter to express his thanks. He noted how emotional and touched it made him He thanked the players and the fans for helping him get through this. At the Puerto Rico Championship, all of the grounds crew wore that signature red over black attire. In addition, some other players used Woods' signature Bridgestone golf ball with his name stamped on the side. Most of them said, you know, he's got a long recovery ahead, but they're grateful that things look better now than they did a week ago. They all appreciate the impact Tiger's had on the game as well as on their own involvement in the game. So, yeah, it's a nice tribute. It's like we talked about last week, Vito, it would be terrible for Tiger to go out this way. It really would. NFL news, former Houston Texan defensive end J.J. Watt is no longer a free agent. He signed a two-year contract with the Arizona Cardinals worth $31 million, 23 of it guaranteed. He spent his first 10 years with the Texans. He asked to be released back in February. And now in Arizona, he's joining former teammate DeAndre Hopkins, a wide receiver. He's also joining former Texans defensive back coach Vance Joseph. This one's interesting. He also joins Cardinals defensive end Chandler Jones, who has led the NFL in sacks since being drafted in 2012. He's had 97. Second in that time frame, J.J. Watt, 95 and a half. Yeah, it looks like the Cards defensive line will mean business next fall. NCAA basketball, we've had a definite shakeup in the rankings. Last week's number two and all season long number two, Baylor, they suffered their first loss of the season. Number four, Ohio State lost twice. And the Hawkeyes went from number nine to number five. We lost big at Michigan, then we won big at Ohio State. So go figure. Here are the polls. Basically, I'm just going to go to the AP. I don't care about the coaches. Goes Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, Illinois, and Iowa in the first five. And then the next five are West Virginia, Ohio State, Alabama, Houston, and Villanova. Then 11 through 15 goes Florida State, Arkansas, Kansas, Creighton, and Texas. We get to 16 through 20. We go Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, San Diego State, and Loyola of Chicago. And finally, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Purdue, Colorado, and Wisconsin round out the rest of the top 25. It's already going to be shaken up again, by the way. Looks like Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel are back together. Remember, they both went to Cleveland for a while. They're together again in the Atlanta for the fan-controlled football league. The team is the FCF Zappers. Basically, it's 7-on-7 football where fans set the rosters, call plays, and interact in a blend of traditional and esports environments. Think of it this way. This is really what it is. Brother Tommy will appreciate this. Indy Hawk, Vito, Hawkeye Mike should all appreciate it. Basically, this is those old electric football game that your parents got you. They got it for you basically every other Christmas, where the players would end up locking arms and just run around in circles on that electric vibrating table. You'd set up like the flying wedge. Nobody could figure out how that the one designated kicker quarterback could throw or kick the ball. You had this player that you'd put the ball on and kick it or throw it. Nobody could figure out how that worked. Except now, instead of careless 8, 10, and 12-year-olds taking over mom's dining room table, you got 40-year-olds doing that in mom's basement. Yeah, instead of paying $19.95 for the game, they pay a couple $1,000s to prove they know just as much about the game now as they did then. They play a 6-week schedule, FCF teams do. They're live streamed on Twitch. Players come from FBS and FCS college levels, as well as the XFL, the CFL, and the Indoor Football League. Not sure what they have against arena guys. I mean, they got no problem with NFL washouts. Arena guys should be a lock. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, last played in the CFL and the Spring League after the Browns had released him in 2015. Gordon has been suspended and reinstated lots of times by the NFL. They rescinded his last reinstatement stemming from violations of their substance abuse policy. He's most recently a non-participant for the Seahawks, which is odd since weed is legal over there. No word on what their substance abuse policy is, but if there is one, don't count on Josh Gordon being diligent in observing. Okay, since the basketball polls were released Monday, here's what's happened. Monday, number 17 Oklahoma State beat number 16 Oklahoma, and number 21 Virginia beat an unranked team. And then last night, number four Illinois beat up number two Michigan in Ann Arbor by 23. Number three Baylor's back in the win column, beating number six West Virginia. Number eight Alabama Number 12, Arkansas. Number 15, Texas. And number 18, Texas Tech, all had wins over unranked teams. Also, number 23, Purdue, beat number 25, Wisconsin, by 5. Tonight, you got number 10, Villanova, and number 14, Creighton. Number 11, Florida State, and number 19, San Diego State are playing unranked teams. Thursday, Michigan hosts Michigan State. Number 3, Baylor hosts number 17, Oklahoma State. And that's weird because it also shows that number 15, Texas, is playing Oklahoma State. So go figure. Number 5, Iowa. Number 6, West Virginia. Number 13, Kansas. Number 18, Texas Tech. And number 24, Colorado all have unranked matchups. Friday, Loyola, number 20, they go in the quarterfinals of the Missouri Valley Conference. Saturday, man, we got a lot of games on Saturday, a lot of good games. Here's what they are. Number 11, Florida State, plays unranked. Number 17, Oklahoma State at number 6, West Virginia. Number 8, Alabama. Number 23, Purdue. Number 10, Villanova. Those are all unranked matchups. Number 4, Illinois at number 7, Ohio State. Number 14, Creighton. And number 21, Virginia. And number 12, Arkansas all have unranked opponents with one cancellation. Not a Dr. Seuss, you know, cancel culture top cancellation, a COVID cancellation, as they've had a few of those, more than a few, that's for sure. Sunday, we've got some real good matchups as well. Let's see what we got Sunday. Then you're going to have your conference tournaments next week. Some of them have already started. Number 9, Houston, plays unranked. Number 25, Wisconsin at number 5, Iowa. Number 18, Texas Tech at number 3, Baylor. Number 2, Michigan returns the trip to Michigan State, and number 15, Texas, takes on TCU. So some good games this weekend. Close out most of the regular season, pretty much in conference tournaments. Like in basketball, they're the Power 6 because it's the Power 5 plus the Big East. And then there's the others, mid-majors, they call them. Most of the mid-majors have already started. I'll give my conference predictions. For the ACC, I'm going to go with Florida State. In the Big East, I'm going to go with Villanova. In the Big Ten, I'm not going with Michigan. I'm going with Iowa or Illinois. Iowa or Illinois. You heard it from Hank. Big 12, I'm going to go Baylor. Big Pac-12, Oregon. That's a weird conference. I've only seen them, UCLA and USC, in highlights. And I think Oregon's just the one that's best suited to a tournament temperament, if you will. In the SEC, I'm going to go with Florida. Meanwhile, updated bracketology. It's updated daily. This was updated at midnight last night, or this morning, however you want to call it. Joe Lunardi. He's got Gonzaga is the top overall seed. He's got Boise State as the first team out and Xavier as the last team in. His last four byes, he has Louisville, UConn, Georgia Tech, and Virginia Commonwealth. Last four in, he has Drake, Seton Hall, Michigan State, and Xavier. First four out, he's got Boise State, Utah State, St. Louis, and Duke. And the next four being Indiana, Southern Methodist, Memphis, and Syracuse. Number one seeds, he's got Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Illinois. He's got Iowa in. By the way, he is Iowa in Gonzaga's region. I'm sorry, we've already played Gonzaga. That's what's wrong. I guess that makes Iowa as the weakest two seed. I guess. I never figured out how they do those. But in any event, no, because Iowa's ranked number 5, so he's got us as, well, whatever. So that's how bracketology looks. It's updated daily. Go to ESPN and look it up. Let's get to the poly sports news. USA Soccer has rescinded a 2017 rule that prohibits its athletes from kneeling during the national anthem. Well, that wasn't enough, though. One of the members who sits on its athletes council spoke out against the change. He was promptly removed from his seat on the council. Here is Seth Yons, followed by the wording of the council. This is from Western Journal. Seth John is 38. I don't know if he's still playing. Here's what he said. I'm sure I'm going to ruffle some feathers with what I'm about to say, especially given the athletes' council that I'm on. But given the evolution of our quote-unquote progressive culture, where everything offends everybody, those willing to take a knee for our anthem don't care about defending half of our country. And when they do so, then I don't have too much concern in also exercising my First Amendment right. We're here to give a different perspective. I also feel compelled to articulate that I'm of mixed race and representative of undoubtedly the most persecuted people in our country's history, Native Americans. Adding that he was part Cherokee. After deriding identity politics and politicizing sports, John said 90%, 5% of deaths in black communities come at the hands of another black man. I worked in law enforcement in two large agencies alongside my black, brown, white, yellow, red, and purple peers. I never once saw a hint of police brutality. Does that mean it doesn't exist? Absolutely not. And it's important to address those atrocities when they manifest, to exercise critical thinking, and to also rebuke the divisive narrative exacerbated by the media in order to garner their ratings as they exploit our emotive state. Simple majority was required, got 71%. He said, I keep hearing how our country was founded on the backs of slaves, even though approximately only 8% of the entire population even owned slaves. Every race in the history of mankind has been enslaved by another demographic at some point in time. Blacks have been enslaved. Hispanics have been enslaved. Asians, most recently in our country in the freaking 20th century, have been enslaved. Natives have been enslaved. Whites have been enslaved. Shoot, I lived in Africa for 2.5 years where I could purchase people, slaves, between the price of $300 and $800 per person, per head, depending on their age, their health, and their physicality. Where were the social justice warriors and the news journalists there to bring their ruminations to these real atrocities? And yet, in all of history, only one country has actually fought to abolish slavery, the United States of America, where nearly 400,000 men died to fight for the abolishment of slavery underneath the same stars and bars that our athletes take a knee for. Their sacrifice is tainted with every knee that touches the ground. A U.S. Soccer's Athletes Council later removed him because he, quote, violated the prohibited conducts policy section on harassment, which prohibits racial or other harassment based upon a person's protected status, race, including any verbal act in which race is used or implied in a manner which would make a reasonable person uncomfortable. The Athletes Council does not tolerate this type of language and finds it incompatible with membership on the council. While the council understands that each person has a right to his or her own opinion, there are certain opinions that go beyond the realm of what is appropriate or acceptable, said the council in a statement. Clearly, the council does not understand that each person has a right to his or own opinion. And in what way did Seth Johns go beyond the realm of what is appropriate or acceptable? He didn't. He said he was going to shoot between the eyes. That's exactly what he did. Man, I mean, that got a guy kicked off the Athletes Council. Hey, remember 10 GOP House members who voted for impeachment to proceed? David Valadao of California, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Peter Meyer and Fred Upton of Michigan, John Katko of New York, Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio, Tom Rice of South Carolina, Jamie Herrera-Butler and Dan Newhouse of Washington, and Liz Cheney of Wyoming, a.k.a. Dr. Zayas. Yeah, at least two of those, Adam Kinzinger in Illinois and now Anthony Gonzalez in Ohio, have been had people file to run against them in primaries. The 11 GOP members who voted to a strip committee assignment from their own party member, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Young Kim of California, Mario Diaz-Balart, Carlos Jimenez, and Maria Elvira Salazar of Florida, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Fred Upton of Michigan, way to double down, guys, Chris Smith of New Jersey, Chris Jacobs, John Katko, and Nicole Malliotakis of New York, and Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania. And of course, let's not forget the seven senators who voted for conviction in the second impeachment hoax. Richard Burr of North Carolina, who was evidently not running again, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Mittens Romney of Utah, Ben Sasse of New England or Nebraska, who I talked about before, and Pat Toomey, also presumed not to be running for re-election. Former Trump aide Catalina Lauf is the one running against Adam Kinzinger. So all you Illinois types, jump on board there. Got some great tweets and other laughy for the week. Laughy is just a way of saying funny, stupidly funny, whatever. But here's some tweets and some laughy. From Kevin Sorbo, who was on Paul's show last week. You can go, by the way, if you just go into Blog Talk Radio and type in Global Patriot Radio, you can find all our old shows there. You can find them there. Here was Kevin's one tweet. Just so we're clear, Biden said black and Hispanic people don't know how to use the internet. And he's still on Twitter. Twitter hasn't closed him down yet in the way Facebook did yet. Also this from Kevin. Trump's CPAC speech had more viewers than any of Biden's live streams. But Biden is more popular. Got it. Guy calling himself Thomas Paine says, Bill Gates, eliminate all greenhouse gases in 30 years or the world will be five times worse than pandemic. To which a gentleman named Ed Lash replied, stop listening to globalist billionaires or else the world will be five times worse than pandemic. Now, Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado, if Democrats were so serious about relief checks, they wouldn't have attached billions of dollars in frivolous spending to them. Again, from Kevin Sorbo, this one's good. To anyone using their First Amendment right to comment about how the Second Amendment was created only for muskets and pistols. Get off your phone or computer and write me a letter with quill and ink, send it via horseback, and then we can start discussing why you're wrong. Charlene T., this one, whoa. Guns don't kill people. Andrew Cuomo kills people. That's harsh. Wise Girl Speaks said, remember when Coke wanted to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony? Yeah, those were good times. Patty Girl says, if Durham doesn't release his report before Garland is confirmed, it's over. Where's the declassification? What the fresh hell are they waiting for? Errol Weber says, Joe Biden has just removed Dr. Seuss from Read Across America because he thinks the book is racist. Joe, just because you can't read them doesn't mean they're racist. Finally, Real Jeff 45 says, Trump took down ISIS. Biden took down Dr. Seuss. One of the best stories to come out of any court in quite a while, a federal judge has handed down an actual sane decision. In Green versus Miss USA, Anita Noel Green, a male who identifies as a woman, sued the Miss USA pageant, saying the pageant could not exclude people who identify as transgender women. However, Judge Michael Mosman, an appointee of President George W. Bush, said, yes, it can. Essentially, the pageant is an expressive organization, commercial one, that promotes a message. As such, it can't be denied its First Amendment right to promote that message rather than allow a plaintiff to contradict it. What the judge is actually saying here is that a transgender, though that person has the right to be transgender, cannot force groups that don't share that belief to contradict their own message by allowing this crap. Look, why does a transgender feel the need to compete against actual women? For the same reason boys pretend to be girls want to hit them, wrestle them, or race them. It's not about rights. It's a mental disease. No, being a transgender is a mental disease. But being transgender and obsessing to compete with, co-opt, or in big left parlance, culturally appropriate women's stuff, that's a mental disease. Let's put it in this way. Remember when Bruce Jenner said he wanted to be a woman, Bruce Lynn Jenner? That wasn't messed up. Bruce Lynn dressing up like a woman, though, and driving up and down the Pacific Coast Highway with other men dressed as women, and then going into bars and restaurants and yelling at them for how they've treated transgender people in the past, that was messed up. Just being transgender isn't messed up. But being transgender and being obsessed with competing against women and being obsessed with how they're treated, you know, in the past, That's messed up. That's a mental disease. That's what Steve Dace was talking about. It's a mental. It's not a rights issue. It's a mental disease. So, just remember, if your son comes to you, or your brother comes to you, or your uncle and says, "I want to be a woman," roll with it. If they say, "I want to be a woman," and then they say, "I want to wrestle women," or "I want to race women," or "I want to box women," yeah, you need to walk that one off. You need to move away from that person at that point, because that's messed up. Here's another great tweet from Kevin Sorbo. I just picked up. I got a couple of tweets from Sue, some good articles which I will save and read. Kevin Sorbo says, "If you cancel Dr. Seuss, you may as well cancel all of Disney." Basically, yeah. But hey, let's look at the bright side. Like I said, a judge has said that a transgender woman cannot force the Miss USA pageant to allow said person to compete. Hey, good news, folks. Cake. Then something else. Then we got a different problem. So anyway, hey, that's about all I've got tonight. I would stay on and just yak until 7 o'clock, but I really don't have more to go on. And besides, it's date night for me and Mrs. Hank. We try to get back to doing that kind of stuff, prioritizing some time on occasion. Want to thank Indie Hawk KB for being in the chat, Vito for being here but not logged in, Hawkeye Mike and Sue from New Mexico, Big Sister, Brother Tommy, Jeff, T. Bodie made it in. All right, T. Bodie made it into the phone. Thank you all for being here. It's been fun. You know what? I'm going to play a little music for you, though. What the heck? Why not? You know what? We're going to play the first ever theme song from Hank Jones Poly Sports. This is how we used to introduce the show, back when Vito had to upload my songs for me. Here we go.
Everybody's talking at me, I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stopping staring, I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain, going where the weather suits my clothes, banking off of the northeast wind, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. My clothes, banking off of the northeast wind, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone. Everybody's talking at me, can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave.
That's the classic from Midnight Cowboy, Harry Nilsson with Everybody's Talking. That was the original intro song for Hank Jones' Poly Sports. Hey, there's one more tweet I want to talk about. I know most of you have hung up or logged out. A couple haven't, though. Sue from New Mexico. She's a good follow, at LoveAmerica615. Or just look up Sue from New Mexico. But anyway, she tweeted out an article basically from barenakedislam.com, basically saying, the Iranian president declares, now that Joe Biden has become president, America will kneel down before Iran. Folks, this is what we wrought. We the people. Now, I know most of us, probably all of us, didn't vote for AP Biden. But we didn't do our job well enough because this is what we've got. Now, this isn't a shock, of course, but this is what we got. Okay, folks, y'all have a good week. Sue, hope you're getting better. I know you went through that stuff with the vaccine stuff, and hope it's getting better for you. So, folks, y'all have a good night. Be safe. Stay well. And, hey, if things are locked down in your state, take a trip to Texas or even Florida. Those are both pretty much open. Good night, folks.